Testing 1, 2, 3. The miniature tape recorder spit his voice back at him, and David Kersell hit the stop button. Satisfied with the test, he rewound the tape and raised the Sony back to his lips. 2 o'clock a.m., he said softly, gazing down from the hillside. Picked up convoy on Route 16 near Hooters Gap 90 minutes ago. Followed it onto unmarked road after a half hour of driving. Trucks show no markings, no license plates. Troop concentration inside base heavy. David placed the Sony on the ground by his side and brought the binoculars back to his eyes. A new figure had appeared on the base below, the first one David had detected not in a standard army uniform. The man wore black slacks and a black turtleneck. He was so broad that his shirt looked to be stuffed with padding. He towered a full head over the troops he passed as he moved by the trucks. Even in the dark, David could tell there was something strange about his straw-colored hair. Something wrong. It stopped short at the big man's ears and rimmed his scalp as if only those strands protected by a bowl had survived his last trim. The thought made David reach up to his long brown locks and run a hand through them. He heard a distant rumble and turned his binoculars away from the base toward the unmarked road that ran before it. Holding them with one hand, he picked the Sony up and pressed record. 3 more trucks approaching, also no markings, no license plates. Identical in all respects to the ones I tailed here. Again, the trucks were of the heavy transport variety, modern and sleek. Space-age 18-wheelers built of shiny, hard green steel, probably armored. David followed them as they edged toward Maravo Air Force Base, a former Strategic Air Command site that had been shut down 2 years before. His heart continued to pound with excitement. He wasn't going to mess things up, not this time, not again. He had learned his lesson a few months before as a feature writer for his college newspaper, when a dorm mate who worked in the school's infirmary insisted that 3 students had contracted the AIDS virus after brief stays there. After the story ran, though, the source had disavowed his statements, leaving David with only a few scribbled notes for corroboration. He had been dismissed from the paper's writing staff as a result, his dream of becoming an investigative journalist marred forever. Embarrassed and alienated, he barely managed to finish the rest of the semester before dropping out and heading west in his Jeep Wrangler. By mid-April, he had met up with some friends who were camping in the Colorado Rockies. David was halfway through a six-pack late that first night when a quartet of heavy transports had rolled down the road just barely in view.
"Man," one of his friends mused, "this is getting to be a habit."
"Huh?" uttered David, already trying to chase the beer from his system.
3 nights, 3 convoys. What the fuck?
His curiosity piqued. The next day, David accompanied his friends only as far as the next town to pay a visit to the local electronics store. From there, he returned to the hills and began his vigil with the tape recorder and a camcorder ready at all times. This time, he wasn't going to fuck up. This time, he was going to get hard evidence. His dream had been returned to him, and he wasn't about to squander the chance. Still, he had been ready to give up the wait after 3 eventless nights when tonight, in the dead quiet of the Colorado dark, he heard the trucks coming from a half mile away. David was already behind the wheel of his Jeep Wrangler when the convoy passed. Knowing it wouldn't be hard to follow, he pulled out well back and drove slowly by moonlight, keeping the low rumble of the convoy within earshot. Without headlights, the slight bends in the road became treacherous curves that had the Jeep Wrangler clinging for dear life. The longest hour of his life passed before the headlights of the convoy illuminated the shape of the mothballed SAC base. David had hidden the Jeep Wrangler and found this vantage point in the hills overlooking the base 5 minutes later. That was a half hour earlier, and now this second convoy had arrived. He followed the big trucks all the way to the entrance through his binoculars. They wheezed to a halt and waited for the gate to be opened. Hurriedly, David lifted the camcorder from his pack and brought it to his eye in place of the binoculars. He wasn't sure if the night would yield much, especially from this distance, but it would be enough to show these latest trucks entering the base. He had no idea what he was onto here. Whatever it was, though, without documentation, it might as well be nothing. He was trying for better focus on the camcorder when the sound of a jet engine burst from the air above him. A plane swooped out of the sky on slow descent for the base. David followed its approach and watched a line of lights snap on beyond the row of buildings lining the base's center. Runway lights. He returned the camcorder to his eye. The camera caught the sinking plane as it dropped beneath the buildings. Instantly, the big trucks revved their engines and headed in convoy fashion for the lights of the runway.
Damn!